Well, welcome back tonight. Hope you've had a good day. Every day's a good day, isn't it? Amen. When you're alive and well, and able to get about and do things, but it's good to be back in the Lord's house. I like that old song, Brother Ken. Sweetest story ever told. Story about Jesus. And I'm glad that I heard it many, many years ago. And the more I hear it, the sweeter it gets, you know. I'm glad that God's given us the opportunity to tell it. It's a story that means a lot to me. I'm sure it does to you as God's children tonight. Well, it's Father's Day night, and I realize a lot of people are traveling, a lot of people wait, but I'm glad you're here. And we're trusting God for a good service tonight, and trust God will encourage you tonight from the Word of God. There's nothing I can say to encourage you, but God's Word can encourage you. And I trust it will tonight. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 tonight. I want to read a few verses of Scripture. Verse 31. Luke 22. And verse 31 through verse 34. Then we'll have prayer and get into our message tonight. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the good service we had this morning. Lord, the word of God that was presented. We ask you now, Lord, to meet with us this evening. Dear God, we know that you have something for us tonight. Lord, may our minds be open. Our hearts be receptive, Lord, to the Word of God. May the Spirit of God now do for us that only He can do. God, to help us and encourage us tonight. And again, thank you, Lord, for each one that's here tonight. Be with, again, those in the hospital, those that are sick, those that are recovering from surgery. I pray, God, you bless them. Those that are traveling, keep them safe. Lord, meet with us now. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a conversation here between Jesus and Peter. You know, Peter, we say a lot about Peter. Peter is a spokesman, of course, for the Lord, for the disciples. He was a very unique young man. Peter loved the Lord. He loved him with all his heart. And we're going to find out tonight that the Lord loved Peter too. I'm glad tonight that he does. Someone said that when you determine that you're going to follow Christ, you become a target for Satan. And that is so true in our lives. I'm glad, though, that whenever we do determine to follow the Lord, even though Satan is targeting us, there's a power within us, there's a strength within us to enable us to overcome. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us to help us to be what we ought to be, what we want to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something tonight. Hear about this in this passage of Scripture as Jesus predicts Peter's denial of him. You know, Jesus knows all about Peter at this time. He always has. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. There's nothing hidden from God about me or about you. Every trial, every test, every triumph, everything about us, he knows. He knows about us. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He knows what's going to happen to me tomorrow. What's going to happen to you tomorrow. He knows what I'm going to face tomorrow. What you're going to face tomorrow. And I'm glad tonight to know that. And we find here as Jesus is speaking to Peter here, we find what happened. Notice he says in verse 31, and the Lord said. Now, the Lord is speaking to who? Simon Peter. He said, Simon. He didn't just say Simon. He said, Simon, Simon. The Lord said, Simon, Simon. I don't know about you, as I was growing up, my dad called my name one time, I knew he meant it. But when he called it twice in a row, I knew I was in trouble. But the Lord says here to Simon, he says, Simon, Simon. In other words, Simon, listen. I got something I want to tell you. He says, behold, behold. Now, when we look at this, when Jesus said to Simon, 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 we notice one thing here. First of all, that God cares about his people. God cares about his people. Now, if God hadn't cared anything about Simon, he would never call his attention to this event. He would never say anything to him about it. He would just let Simon go on his merry way and trip and fall, and that'd been it. But see, God loved Peter. God loves you. He says, Simon, Simon, God cares for his people. God cared for Simon. He cared a lot about Simon. And we find this true to even us today. We also see, he says, behold. Simon, Simon, behold. That is view, look, see what I'm fixing to tell you. What I'm fixing to tell you is very important. Very important. Reminded about Brother Little Joseph this morning when he said about his dad, told him when he did wrong. You know, my dad used to do that. And I appreciate that. You know, my wife. Because it helps you. It helps you so many ways. It does. But the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold. Now we see that God cares about his people. But we also see that God communicates to his people. He said, behold. Behold. Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. What I'm fixing to tell you is very important. Now the first thought we have here in this passage of scripture, as I look at it, we see the concern of the Savior. The concern of the Savior. Peter is about to go into something that he, as far as he is thinking, he would never do. He would never do what he's going to do, as far as his mind is thinking. But the Lord knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. The Lord knows me better than I know myself. The Lord knows you better than you know yourself in our lives. But we find here that because of that, the Lord Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter. He says, behold, listen, look, view on something I'm about to tell you. It's very, very important that you do this. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 through 29, we know that Jesus had just fed the 5,000 people. He fed the multitude there. He told the disciples to get on a ship on the sea and sail across the sea. Jesus departed from them, went to a mountain. He went up there and prayed. After he prayed, he got come off the mountain. He walked out on the sea to the ship where the disciples were. And as he got close to the ship, the disciples were afraid. They saw someone and didn't know who it was. They thought it was a ghost. You know what Jesus said to them? Be not afraid, it's I. Be not afraid, it's I. And what did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you. And the Bible says that Peter stepped out of the ship into the sea and walked to go to Jesus. Peter, always the one that, you know, if you need a volunteer, I'm it. I'm it. I'll do it. No matter what it is, I'll do it. He was aggressive. He was very impulsive, maybe you should say. Always wanting to do something for the Lord. And we find here in this passage of scripture tonight that here we find the Lord speaking to Peter, and he said, Simon, Simon, behold, I got something to tell you. I got something to tell you. I want you to listen to me. Now notice, what he's about to do, he's about to give Peter the plan of Satan in his life for a little while. He's letting him know that Satan is going to do something in your life, and I want you to be aware that it's him doing it. It's him doing it. So we find here that the next thing he says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired. Did you know, folks, Satan has desires? He has desires. He has desires for you. He has desires for me. Turn back into Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at one here. You know this by heart, but let's look at it just a minute. in Genesis chapter 3, Satan's desire was to tempt Eve to disobey God. That was his desire. In Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, when the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan had a desire for Eve to disobey God. He has desires. He has desires for you. He has desires for me in our life, you see. Now notice, Satan hath desired. What is he saying here? What is the Lord saying to Peter here? Simon Peter, behold, Satan has desired. He has literally, if you want to call it, he has literally begged earnestly for you. If there's anybody that Satan, that he wants to get now, Peter, it's you. It's you. You are a spokesman. You are a leader. You're someone that stands for the Lord. And Satan wants to get you. He's begging to get you earnestly. He wants to get you. We find here that this is what's taking place. Now notice, Jesus told Simon Peter, Satan has desired. He has desire to what? First of all, to have you. To have you. He wants control of your life. You are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't send you to hell, but he can influence you. He can affect you in your life to where you can't do anything for God. Therefore, he wants to have you that way. He wants you to stop doing what you're doing. He wants control of your life. He don't want you to do anything for God. He wants you to stop. He wants to have you. He wants to have you. And folks, tonight, as God's children, as God's disciples tonight, Satan wants to have you. He wants to have you. He wants to have me. And notice what else he says here. Not only does he want to have you, he says Satan has desired to have you. Notice that he may sift you as wheat. He wants you in his hand. He wants control of you. He wants control of your life. Your thinking. Where you go, what you do. He wants to control you. He has desired to have you and even to sift you as wheat. To sift you even as wheat. We find here, Peter, who was a mouth, if you please, of all the rest, speaking to Christ here, is here the ear of the rest of the disciples, which is designed for a warning for them, directed to Peter. In other words, the Lord is speaking to Peter, who used to be the spokesman for Christ, the mouth for Christ. He's speaking to his ear. Listen to what I'm saying. Behold, he says, what I'm saying to you. And as he speaks to Peter, and Peter's listening, his other disciples are there also. So he's warning all of them. Satan has desired to have you. He wants to sift you as wheat. To sift you as wheat. We find here the concern of the Savior. Number one, the concern of the Savior. He's concerned about Peter. Because of what Peter is fixing to do in his life. He's fixing to face. Sift you as wheat. Notice secondly, in the last part of verse 31 we just read, that he may sift you as wheat. In other words, Satan wants really to crush Peter. He wants to step on him. He wants to do away with him. He wants to crush him. He wants to crush him completely. We find here that he desired to have him that he might sift him, that he might sift him as wheat, that he might show Peter to be nothing but chaff and not wheat, wasted. Peter, you're really not anything. You just say you're something, but you're really not anything. And if I can get you in my hand and sift you as wheat, I'll prove to you that you're nothing. You're nothing. I'll crush you. I'll crush you even as wheat. He would do this by his temptations that he had, by those troubles that he would put in his life for Peter, and also to put them into loss and misery. Sift you as wheat. I thought about that, Pastor. Being raised on the farm years ago, Tyra, I remember my mom and daddy sifting peas, maybe, for example, peas. What do you do when you sift peas? Somebody will be looking at me very strange. Let me give you an agricultural lesson right quick, okay? When you plant a garden, you planted corn, peas, beans, whatever you planted. You would pick the beans, say, for example, the peas off the vine when they got ready to pick. Now, you only had maybe a week at the most. If you didn't pick them in time, they'd go bad. And you couldn't pick them and shell them and count them or freeze them, whatever you did to them. But towards the end of the season, you might want to, my mom and dad, sometimes they will leave the last picking, so to speak, on the vines. And they will leave them there and let them dry in the hull, in the shell. The hull. What is it? Hull? P-hull, yeah. The hulls. You let them dry on the vine, let them hang on the vine so they get good and dry. And then what you do, you go out there and you pick them off the vine, dry, and you put them in a sack, not a paper sack or a plastic bag, but something like a burlap bag. And you take them and put them in that bag. All them dry peas, you go out and pick them and you put them in that bag, and you tie that bag and you hang them up in a dry, safe place. Most time it was in the loft of the barn, in the old barn somewhere. You'd hang them up there in the barn in that bag. And they'd hang up there all winter long and just dry. They'd hang there and they'd dry. Well, come next spring, what did you do? When it get time to plant peas, you didn't go to the market and buy peas to plant. What you did, you went upstairs and you got that bag of peas that you had up there in the shelves. You come back down in the hulls. I'll get right in a minute. And you come back down and you take them and you lay that bag on the ground, and you take something like a ball bat, and you beat it to death. I mean, you just beat it to death. You know, you stomp on them. I mean, a little boy used to stomp on them. I fell off a pea bag a many times trying to mash peas. But, you know, I just stomp them peas, you know, them hulls, and finally, when you get them all stomped up real good, what you do, you take the bag, and you undo the bag, and you have a sheet, old tobacco sheet or something, and you pour all of them out on that sheet. Then you go there and you pick out the hulls. You pick all the big hulls up, make sure the peas are out, get all the hulls out. And then you take all that stuff, when you clean it all out, but the peas and the husk there, what you do, you maybe put that in a bag, if it was in a windy day. Then you will wait till a windy day. When a windy day comes, you take those peas that you had stomped and hulls and all that, and you get out there and you take those all that stuff in a bucket. And you'd pour it, another sheet or something laid on the ground, and you'd pour them out real slow, and the wind would come by and blow all that husk out, and all them peas would fall on the sheet, okay? And they would fall on the sheet. You do that two or three times, you know, till you got them all cleaned out. And then you could go out there and plant your peas. That's sifting peas, okay? Ain't you glad you come tonight? Learn how to sift peas, okay? But Satan has desire to sift you as wheat, you see. Now, notice in the process of sifting wheat, sifting, what happens? Number one, there's the picking, okay? There's the picking. Satan desires Peter, okay? He has picked out Peter to be sifted, okay? Like, we pick the peas to later on sift them. Now, not only is there the picking, but there's the drying. You put them up in the barn and let them dry. See, Satan wants to stop Peter. He wants to stop him. I'm going to hang you up, buddy. I want you to stop. You're done for a while. See, I'm going to hang you up and let you just dry out. Let you dry out. Then after that, there comes the beating. You take them down, let them on the ground, and you beat them. Well, here we find now, Satan, after he's picked Peter, he has stopped him. Now he's going to start beating him. He's going to start beating him. He's going to do everything he can to him to destroy him. physically, emotionally, mentally, he's going to do all he can to try to stop him, you know? And then there's the blowing, sifting as wheat. Storms in your life are going to come, Peter, and you're going to falter. You're going to doubt. And you're going to even get to the point that your faith is going to be so weak, you don't even know where you stand. The blowing. That's what sifting is all about, folks. And we find this here, what Satan wants to do to Peter. He wants to sift him as wheat. He wants to identify Peter as chaff, as wasted, nobody, no good for nothing, who you are. You're not who you say you are, Peter. And he's trying to identify, Jesus is trying to warn Peter about this, what Satan is going to try to do to him in his life here. So we find Satan, now remember, Satan could not sift Peter until God gave him leave to. God had to give him permission for him to do it before he did it, you see. But we notice here the cruelty of Satan. We see the concern of the Savior. We see the cruelty of Satan, how Satan wants to sift Peter as wheat. He wants to hang him up. He wants to stop him, okay? He wants to beat him. He wants to blow him away, so to speak, as chaff. And now we find the compassion of Christ. Look in verse 32. I like this. Jesus said to Peter, but I have what? I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for Peter, I know what's coming in your life. I know you're going to face something that you've never faced before. But I want you to know something, buddy. I'm praying for you. I care about you. I love you. And I know you love me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm glad today to know. And I know you are as God's children. Things sometimes we face in our life, we don't know how to handle. But just remember, child of God, Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you. The compassion of the Savior. The Savior loves us. Folks, and no matter what we're going through in our life, He loves us. He loves us. He's praying for us. He says, I have prayed for thee. Not only he says, I have prayed for thee, but notice what he says, that thy faith fail not. I'm praying for you, Peter, that your faith does not fail. It does not fail. Many times we fail as believers, don't we? We stumble, we fall as believers. But remember this, we're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God and to salvation by faith. We're kept by His power. We find here the encouragement to Peter Christ gave, the compassionate Savior. The concerned Savior, Satan is cruel. And also we see here now the compassion of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 33. After he said, I pray for you that thy faith fail not. Peter said this in verse 33. And he said, Lord, I'm ready. You ever said that? Satan, come on, I'm ready. Oh my. Woo. Better watch out about that, haven't we? Peter, quote, has conviction. He thought he was ready. I mean, he's ready to charge hell with a water pistol. You know, he's ready. I'm ready. You just come on, Satan. I'm prepared for you. You come on and do what you want to do to me. I'm ready. I'm ready. He said, notice what he says. He says, I am ready to go with thee, Lord, both into prison and to death. I'll go where I have to go. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. It's what he's saying to Christ. That's his conviction, you see. Peter's resolution was, I'm going to cleave to Christ. I'm not going to let him go. I'm going to live for him, no matter whatever the cost. I'm ready. All true disciples of Christ that desire to follow him are to be ready to go with him. But notice in verse number 34, the comprehension of Christ, what Christ knows that Peter don't know. Christ understands something. He takes it in here. Notice in verse number 34. And he said, it is the Lord, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter, before morning, you're going to deny me three times. that you don't even know me. You don't even know me. Now, I'm sure that was a shock to Peter, because Peter says, I'm ready. It's just like sometimes, Pastor, you can identify this, and those of you that teach or speak. You can study, you can prepare, and you can think in your heart, I'm ready. But you get up, and butterflies get to bubbling in your stomach, and you get to stumbling and stuttering about what you're going to say, and your mind's everywhere, and you don't know what you're going to do. You know? See, it's not about us, it's about Him. It's all about Him, see? Asking Him to speak through us, to encourage God's children. And He said, Christ is expressing here the prediction of His denying Him three times. He said, I tell thee, Peter, that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You say, you don't even know me. You don't even know me. I told the prayer group a few weeks ago of a story, a situation I heard about. I don't know if it's true or not. But one Sunday, in a church service, the church was almost full of people. Two guys walked in the front door, come into the main auditorium of the church. They were armed. They had masks on. The preacher stopped preaching. One of the guys says, if you're not willing to die for Christ, get up and go. Story goes that probably 90% of the people got up and left. I mean, flew in a hurry. The guys, when everybody left, they wanted to leave. The guys took the mask off, took the guns outside, laid them down, come back in, and said, preacher, now you can preach to your real members. You got rid of your hypocrites. You know, I often think about that. If somebody was to come in that door tonight and point that gun at me and say, you deny Christ or I'm going to kill you, I wonder what I'd do. I can say, I'd stand here and say, shoot me. But I don't know that. I don't know that. I would want to say that. I would want to say that. But it depends on this flesh. I mean, this flesh, listen, this flesh has a lot to do with what we say and what we do. Depends on what mood we're in, so to speak. You know, but I mean, this can be reality to us. But we find here that Jesus understood Peter better than Peter understood himself in this situation here. And he knew him better than he knew his own self. And he knew that Peter was weak. He knows we're weak. And he knows exactly where to measure out a little bit of that grace that you and I need in our life, that we don't stumble and that we don't fall. I'm glad tonight to know that. So we find here tonight, we find the concern of Christ. Jesus loved Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, behold. We see also the cruelty of Satan. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. We see the compassion of Christ. Peter, I pray for you that your faith will not falter. We also see the conviction of Peter. I'm ready. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'm ready to pay the cost, whatever it is. I'm ready. Then we find the comprehension of Christ. Peter, before tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. Now remember, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, what? What's the next word? Behold. Behold. Listen. What I'm going to tell you. You're going to deny me three times before tomorrow morning. You're going to deny me. I'm warning you. I'm letting you know this. Now, what is the charge here? Go back to verse number 32. This is my message here. Verse 32. Jesus said, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. That's the thought tonight, brothers and sisters. Strengthen thy brethren. We find here the charge he gives to Peter is to help others. Help others. Help others. When we have found grace, the grace of God, the mercy of God in our lives for forgiveness of sin, we should share that with other people. Strengthen thy brother. Strengthen thy brother. Help others that they also may find mercy. I love that song, Mercy, there was great and grace was free. Pardon, there was multiplied to me. Mercy and grace. Praise God for that tonight. We find here, he said, Jesus said to Peter, and when thou art converted, those that through grace are converted from sin must do again what they can to strengthen other brothers and sisters in Christ, to prevent them from falling, to prevent them from falling. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Familiar song of David. Psalm 51, look at verse number 11. David said this to the Lord, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore my salvation. He said, restore the joy of my salvation. The joy of my salvation. Brother Lee, I'll never forget they were saved. Joy flooded my soul. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I knew my sins were forgiven. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, David said, will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So we find here, when thou art converted, Jesus said to Peter, your faith is going to falter. Your faith sometimes is going to be uncertain. You're going to deny me three times before tomorrow morning. But I want you to know something, Peter. When you are converted, that is when you have returned to me. When you have returned to me, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren, he says. Jesus assured Peter here, first of all, that his faith may falter. His faith may falter. It may be uncertain sometimes in your life. Okay? It may be that way, your faith. But also, it will not be destroyed. Your faith will not be destroyed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you and to forgive your sins, your faith will not be destroyed. It may falter. It may at times be uncertain. But it'll never be done away with. It'll never be done away with. I don't believe you can be saved and not know it. If you can lose it and not miss it. Satan wanted Peter to be destroyed. Jesus was assuring Peter here of his faith. He would not falter. Also, he won't be destroyed. He said, Peter, when you are converted, your faith is going to be renewed. Your faith is going to be strengthened because you've faltered. Your faith will be renewed. In other words, you'll have more faith. You have more faith whenever we falter sometimes. When we get weak in our faith, okay, we're uncertain about certain things. But God then renews our faith. Renews our faith. And we have more faith. We have stronger faith because of that. And when you have stronger faith, then you can strengthen the brethren. Strengthen the brethren is what he's saying here. Not only will you be renewed, Peter, because when you're converted, whenever you come back, you're going to have renewed faith. And because of that, I'm going to use you to be a leader. I'm going to use you to be a leader for me. And you know the story of Peter. What happened? He became a great preacher of the gospel. Thousands were saved because of Peter. Because, listen, his faith was tested. His faith was uncertain, folks. But Jesus prayed for him. He told him, I'm praying for you. I want you to know that. I'm praying for you. And because of that, we find that his faith was renewed and he did become a powerful leader for the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying? Listen. If it is not for your good, whatever you face in your life, if it is not for your good, God would not permit it. I don't care what it is in your life. It's for your good. It's for my good. It can be sickness. It can be tragedy in our life. Whatever it is, it's for our good. It's for our good. That we might be strengthened in the inner man. Having more faith in God. Trusting Him more than we ever have. Trusting the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. For He shall what? Direct thy paths. See, trusting in the Lord every day. See, things will come. Jesus is warning Peter what he's going to face in his life. He's saying, I want you to beware. Satan wants to sift you as wheat. Your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be uncertain sometimes in your life. But I want you to know something. I'm praying for you. My grace is going to be sufficient. My mercy is sufficient for you. And wherever you go, your faith, whatever happens to you, because of that, your faith is going to be renewed. You're going to be stronger. And you're going to be a leader for me because of your new faith. You're trusting me. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Have you ever wondered why this happened to me? Lord, why did you put this in my life? Why do I have to go through this? I don't understand why I'm going through this in my life. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me in my life? Satan is sifting me as wheat. He's trying to crush me. He's trying to destroy me. Why is all this taking place in my life? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all what? How much comfort? All comfort. All comfort. We'll read that again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Notice, who comforted us in how many? All our tribulation, that we may be able to what? Comfort them which are in any what? Trouble. By what? The comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Whatever I face in my life and God comforts me through, that comfort is going to help me to be able to help somebody else be comforted in their lives. Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. You know, the greatest thing that can happen to God's children is when God's children come together. Somebody comes up to you and say, pats you on the back or speaks to you, shakes your hand, says, don't you know something? For some reason this week, God's laid you on my heart to be praying for you, and I've really been praying for you. Amen. There's nothing that can strengthen a child of God any more than that.
That's right.
Nothing can take the place of that. Just somebody to tell you they've been praying for you.
Right.
Prayer does more for me and more for you than anything else we could do for one another. It's praying. God help us tonight to realize the concern of the Savior. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He cares about me. He communicates with you. He communicates with me. He also can get your attention. He can get my attention. Just like He was trying to get Peter's attention here. See, He knows how to do all those things. And you know what? It's all for our good. It's all for our good. That God may use us to comfort somebody else. To strengthen someone else. If there's ever been a time in history that Christians today need to be strengthened, is today. is today. Now, I realize the best way to get strength is through reading the Word of God and praying. That's so important. I'm not minimizing that. That should be number one to do. But there are times when we can encourage one another. We can encourage one another. See, sometimes God gives us insight. Sometimes God gives Pastor Ennis insight about me, about you. Something is about to take place. He's God's man. God gives him things that we don't know nothing about. See, that's why he depends upon the Lord, upon his messages. He don't know what I need. He don't know what you need. But he knows that God knows. And God, through his word, as he prays and seeks out God's will, what he wants to preach, God's word can give you and give me what we need in our lives to give us strength and to warn us about things that we're facing in our lives. Just like Jesus warned Peter. He warned him. He said, "Behold, behold, Peter, I want you to know something. Satan desires to sift you." Now, Satan desires to sift you. Do you know that? If he could do anything to you tonight, to me tonight, he would kill us. One thing about it, praise God, he can't send me to hell. Amen. He might take this body and this life out of this body, but I won't go to hell. But I don't want him even to influence me. I don't want him to even influence me. But I have to beware. I have to behold. As Jesus told Peter, behold, behold, be on the look for what's taking place in your life. Because I want you to know, I'm praying for you no matter what you face in life. Folks, listen. When you and I walk out these doors tonight, we don't know what we're going to face before we even get home. But just remember, God's concerned about you. You have a concerned Savior. You have a compassionate Savior. You have one that understands and he knows what you're going to face every day of your life. Every day of your life, he knows what you're going to face. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. I'm thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that he wants us to strengthen the brethren. Through the difficulties that we face, God gives us strength. I want to say this tonight, and I want to say it from my heart, Brother Urban, your daughter. I've heard a lot of people say this, and I'm going to say this too. I don't know of anything recently that has strengthened me anymore than for her to stand up here last Sunday morning and sing that song. That was a blessing. That was a blessing, folks. I don't mean, there probably weren't many people in here that didn't have tears in their eyes. But you know what? God uses situations like that to strengthen us. To strengthen us. It's not the big things. It's the little things that we do. How you doing? I'm praying for you. God bless you. I love you. I mean, we need that, folks. We need it. We need it. I need it. You may not. I do. We feel isolated in the world. I mean, there's nothing in the world that really, that I want any part of. I mean, you go out here to the stores and you feel like you're in a zoo, or you feel like you're in a place you don't need to be. All this loud noise and all this kind of stuff. You know, this world is not a place for Christians, folks. It's just not a place for Christians. Thank God one day we're going to move out of here to the place the Lord's prepared for us. Strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen one another in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for loving us. Thank you for the life of Peter. Lord, how you encouraged him. Lord, to encourage others through his life. Even though his faith faltered, it was uncertain at times. Yet you prayed for him. And Lord, you renewed him. And you give him power to become a leader in your work. God, our faith many times needs to be renewed. God, help us tonight. Strengthen your children tonight. Bless and have your will and way in this invitation in Jesus' name.